Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T. from the Club 520 Podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey, if you guys like to cook outdoors, and you oughta, you should check out the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. So this is a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned with food safe oils and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge, reaching all the way up to 500 degrees. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. And we've got a week one DFS show for you. So we're going to walk through our favorite cash game plays, running back, then wide receiver, quarterback, tight end, DST. Then we're going to circle back around and touch on some GPP plays that we really like. And at the end of the show, we're going to give our lock of the week. This is what we're going to do every week moving forward. And you can follow us on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Because as we get news rolling in, there's going to be some updates. We always post that stuff on Twitter rather than writing another 32,000 word article. Is that where you were at this week, Tags?
It was something like that. I don't remember the final word count, but I do want to extend a thank you to everybody who shared it, you know, on social media. Like, it was the feedback on the article has been wonderful. And if you guys haven't checked it out, the primer went out yesterday, and that's an article I'll do every week. It's a paragraph on every player from every game. And I know I said it last show, but I'm psyched about it, man. I love doing it. It does take a lot of time, but just seeing you guys appreciate it, retweet it and all that stuff, and sharing it, Facebook, whatever. Some people actually made a Twitter account to tell me thank you.
That's awesome, dude.
That stuff means the world. So thank you guys.
Well, you know what, Tags? This thing is really popular, but you have not got enough love for it because it is that good. I'm not joking, guys. I'm not saying this because we're trying to promote it. We didn't talk about this before the show or anything like that. It's just that good of an article, Tags. I love your work. I loved your work before we went out and hired you to Fantasy Pros, and that's why we got you, man. Everybody loves you, dude.
No, I'm psyched, dude. I mean, this morning was weird. So I might be like a little different than usual recording, because like I went to bed somewhat early last night because I was like, I need to get to sleep. I know it's going to take me a while to fall asleep. And I woke up and I started thinking, I was like, oh, it's opening day. And I just like peeped my eyes open and I looked at the clock and it said 1:51 in the morning. And I was like, oh, this is not good. And I ended up, I was awake for like 3.5 hours and I ended up taking like a short, like hour and a half nap and then got up again. So it was a really weird night. I'm like a kid on Christmas morning, man. This is such a fun day.
I know, man. I'm so excited. I'm super pumped. And we get to talk week one DFS. This is probably in my top five most favorite shows of the year. Like, I love doing the NFL mock draft that we do. I love the sleeper episode, but I really love week one DFS. There's nothing like it. Before we get into that, though, I want to tell you about our DFS optimizer. You know, when I'm building out my cash game lineup, I don't really need much help. I know exactly who I want. But when I'm building my GPP lineup, this DFS optimizer saves me hours trying to figure out how to stack the right players and fit everyone together. It's got all the information there for me, and it's going to eliminate hours of research for you as well. The optimizer uses the latest projections to help you identify the best possible lineups using the salary available. So you can look at the salaries on FanDuel, DraftKings, Fantasy Draft, Yahoo Contest. It's going to take our consensus projections and give you an idea of who we would recommend putting in the right lineups. And Hall of Fame users can even use their own projections. Apply GPP settings to utilize boom or bust players, view projected ownership, build multiple lineups, or tweak a single lineup to your heart's content. Become a Hall of Fame subscriber today if you want to check out the DFS Lineup Optimizer. It's at fantasypros.com/optimizer. Again, fantasypros.com/optimizer. And by the way, if you want to become one of those premium members, we've got a special $10 offer going on right now that's going to give you 6 months of our Hall of Fame package, again, for 10 bucks. It's going to include full access to all our content and tools, including the DFS lineup optimizer. If you want to claim this offer, head on over to fantasypros.com/offers. All right, Dex, we don't really have that much in the way of news to talk about. I mean, you're going to be doing a live stream later in the week on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros. It's a Sunday morning Q&A at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Again, that's youtube.com/fantasypros. So any relevant injury news, news that's coming out before week one that you need to know about, Tags is going to cover it there and do Q&A. So let's just jump right into it, man. At the running back position, we're talking cash games for FanDuel and DraftKings. And there is one absolute lock here. I'm hoping you agree with me, Tags. Who is it?
Oh, I mean, we all know who the running back is. Come on. I mean, it's Chris Carson. Like, Chris Carson needs to be in every cash game lineup. I have him ranked as my number three running back play this week. And that's obviously not reflected in his price on DraftKings. It's ridiculous that he's 5,700 on DraftKings. It's a steal. You have to play him.
And to give you guys an idea, if you're new to DraftKings or new to FanDuel, 5,700 means he's the 15th most expensive running back on the board in the main slate. On FanDuel, it's even lower. He's 18th. You've got to play him. I've got him in my top three as well. The game script is absolutely incredible. They're 10-point favorites at home against Cincinnati, who has a very bad defense. This one's just an absolute gimme. If you're not playing Chris Carson, you hate money.
Yeah, no, the Bengals last year, their opponents averaged nearly 68 plays per game, with 29 of them being carries. That was the fourth most in the league, while the Seahawks ranked second in the league with 32.8 rushing attempts per game. So if you kind of do the math here, it's like this adds up to a massive volume game. And that's why, you know, we talked in the Start Sit show about, you know, Rashad Penny being a potential flex option this week. But Chris Carson is the sure thing. Like, he's a guy that you don't have to question. As long as he stays upright, he's performing.
So I've got one other running back that I'm definitely using in cash games, unless something comes out between now and then, but I don't expect it to. It's Mark Ingram. Is he your number two as well?
Mark Ingram is not my number two, just because, like, his lack of involvement in the passing game and the lack of involvement that, like, Lamar Jackson didn't use them very much. Like, he's a fine cash game play for sure. Like, I don't.
But maybe that's why they went out and got Mark Ingram, right? Because they can't pass the ball to Gus Edwards, so they needed someone like Ingram.
Yeah, I mean, at 51, he's 5,100 on DraftKings, and, like, if you're playing cash, essentially what you shoot for is 2.5x, and that's.
Can you explain what 2.5x means? Because there's a lot of newer listeners who haven't played DFS before.
Yeah, for sure. So what you do is you take the salary and you multiply it by 2.5. So it's like, remove the thousand, just take the first number, essentially the first and second number. So he's
so a $10,000 player would need 25 fantasy points to hit value.
And DraftKings is PPR. So it's like 12.5 points for Ingram. It's possible, but if he doesn't score a touchdown, you're left with nothing, because he's not going to rush for 130 yards. It's very unlikely that he's going to catch many balls. So it's like, I don't think he's a bad bet. I do have him on my list as someone that you could play if you really wanted to, you know, like, go down in price, but I would rather go up 1,000 to play Leonard Fournette at 6,100.
Leonard Fournette's a really good price. Like, we know who he is when he's on the field. He's absolutely fantastic. He's on the field. No injury concerns whatsoever. It's been a quiet preseason, and the Chiefs give up a ton of points to opposing running backs. Him and Dalvin Cook are the other guys that I'm considering.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook is he's a phenomenal one as well. Like, that's a good call. He's actually $100 cheaper than Fournette, so that's like the range. It's like one of those two guys, or if you want to play both of them and Chris Carson and the flex, whatever, I have no issue with all of them. They're all guys that should see 20 touches in these games, and Dalvin Cook... The situation here is, like, we heard news about Stephon Diggs. All of a sudden, he popped up on the injury report. He's limited.
Typical Stephon Diggs, right?
And when Diggs is on the injury report, he does not perform. Like, it's been a thing over the last few years. So if he doesn't, it's like, we're going to get to the wide receivers here in a little bit. Going to love Adam Thielen. Like, Thielen is turning into a must play, but it also lends to Dalvin Cook. And I struggle to see a situation where the Falcons go into Minnesota, which is one of the hardest stadiums to play inside, to go there and put up points, like, continually on the board. So I think Dalvin Cook is a guy that he's going to see tons of carries. He's obviously involved in the passing game. Dalvin Cook is right behind Leonard Fournette in my rankings. So it's like, if you wanted to play either or, I have no issue with either of them.
You know, in the top end wide receivers this week, and even tight ends, you could argue, obviously we're not playing, we'll talk about it later, but we're not playing Travis Kelce. With the state of the wide receivers and tight ends, you really could afford to spend up on Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, Chris Carson, and still have plenty of money left over.
Oh, yeah, and there's cheap quarterbacks that we're going to talk about, too, where it's like, you know, just finding a floor, a fantasy floor with a quarterback, it's fine. Tournaments are going to be different. We're going to hit on those guys. But, yeah, and cash, those are the core running backs that I think that you should target around. Like, Bobby, if you're paying up in cash, like, let's say that we have a listener out there that's like, I really just want one workhorse, like, stud in my lineup. I think Chris Carson is that guy. But if they're worried about a timeshare in Seattle, which one of the big running backs would you play? Would you play Saquon Barkley? Would you play Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara? Like, I think that if you're paying up, I think Christian McCaffrey would be the one I would go with, even though the Rams have been pretty good against running backs.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I don't love Barkley against Dallas. Dallas has a very good run defense. Zeke against the Giants, he's not going to play enough. At least we don't think he's going to play enough, so you can't...
For 9,200,
you can't trust him in cash games.
Yeah, you're paying for like a big performance there.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to get 25 touches to hit value against the Giants. Like, the Giants aren't a great defense. It's a good positive game script, but yeah, you don't want Zeke. For me, it's either Christian McCaffrey or Todd Gurley, and Todd Gurley's not priced like that. I mean, he's 7,600. He's someone else I would consider for cash, except Carolina's defense is very good against the run, so Gurley, for me, is my number five option. If you want to use him, I don't think you're crazy, because we're talking about someone who was the RB1 each of the last two seasons, and yes, he had arthritis in his knee both of those seasons, and he's super cheap. I mean, if you would have told me last year that Todd Gurley was going to be $7,600 on FanDuel, I would have been so pumped up. I don't know if there's a big difference. I mean, he might get fewer touches. They brought these guys in for a reason, but he's healthy right now.
I think Gurley is a good tournament play. I won't play him in cash because I do want to see the usage. I want to see what happens with Malcolm Brown. I want to see what happens with Daryl Henderson if it's kind of like a Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara situation, which some people have noted. I don't necessarily believe that, but there's just too much uncertainty for me to play him in cash. He is the fourth most expensive running back on DraftKings, so you're actually paying up for him to get him in your lineup, and you just don't need to do it this week is all. And the reason I like him in tournaments, though, is because his ownership will be lower than it ever has been because people are worried about Todd Gurley. That's the reason that he was falling into the second or third round of your fantasy draft, which is, you know, it is what it is. But you want to take advantage of that when there's uncertainty about a player, when you know that there's upside. So Todd Gurley is someone that's probably going to be lesser owned than someone like David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell. But I would take Gurley in a tournament lineup over those guys.
Okay, guys, we do need to move on. But first, I want to tell you about an opportunity we have with NFL Game Pass. Guys, only with NFL Game Pass are you going to be able to replay every game all season long. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. I'll tell you what, I'm most excited to watch Jalen Ramsey shadow Tyreek Hill this week. It is going to be fantastic. Those two are both amazing. And with NFL Game Pass, I can replay every single play from that game, either by replaying the full broadcast version or the entire game in only 45 minutes with condensed games. If you haven't watched a condensed game yet, you're going to have to try it out. It's every play from the game back to back to back, so you can replay an entire NFL game in a fraction of the time it normally takes. It's how I'm able to follow all the Super Bowl contenders, fringe playoff teams, and teams that might sneak up on you. Who's really the team to beat in the AFC West? Is it the Chargers or the Chiefs? Do the Saints have what it takes to stay atop the NFC South with the Falcons right on their tail? Have the Patriots maybe got even better from last season? To see all the action this season and stay on top of all the big storylines, you need NFL Game Pass. And best of all, you can kick off the 2019 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass by signing up now at NFL.com/fantasypros. I just want to talk about three guys that you may consider playing just because they're good, solid prices, but don't do it. David Johnson against Detroit. Detroit has one of the best run defenses in the NFL. It's a negative game script. And when we say negative game script, that means they'll be playing from behind. It does not help David Johnson's upside because he's not going to get as many carries. Yeah, he'll be involved in the passing game. He's kind of game script proof, but it's a negative game script for a running back. Le'Veon Bell going against Buffalo. Buffalo also has a really good defense. The over-under in this game is 40.5. Don't play Le'Veon Bell. And then the final one, Joe Mixon against Seattle. Just never play running back when they're 9-point dogs, ever.
Yeah, on the road too. That's a difficult thing. Like, he's someone that, like, I don't want to say I'm open to in tournaments because, like, remember when I mentioned that uncertainty? Nobody knows what to expect from Zach Taylor's offense. And that's like one of the things that they have going for them, like Cincinnati this week against that Seattle team. Seattle's defense wasn't known to be great. I know they've added Jadeveon Clowney there and stuff like that, but they've lost. Mixon is like, it wouldn't surprise me if we're like watching that Seattle game and it's like, yep, Cincinnati's getting blown out, but Joe Mixon gets two garbage touchdowns. Like, basically, they're just down. They're down, you know, three touchdowns, and he scores like late in the game. I could see that happening. So if you have uncertainty in a player and you know that he's like got high potential, I think Mixon is a guy in tournaments that you could also look at, but in cash, absolutely not.
You know, I think you could make a case for looking at a lot of different people in tournaments, but at running back, I mean, we're going to talk about this later when we do the GPP segment. And GPP is just another way of saying tournaments. The large entries, we've got like 100,000 people we're competing with, but you can win $1 million, stuff like that. But at running back, I mean, we talked to Joe Hochul, and I totally agree with him that it's pretty obvious who the top running back plays are, and there's not as much volatility with those guys. We know the touches they're going to get. We know the matchups they have. With wide receivers, you want to take some shots in GPP. In GPP for running backs, I just want to stick with the guys we've been talking about. Carson, Fournette, Cook. Okay, maybe I'll go to Christian McCaffrey. Maybe I'll go to Todd Gurley. I don't want to go too far beyond that.
It just depends on the type of tournament you're playing, right? Like if you're playing a tournament with like 2,000-3,000 people, yeah, you could stick with cash game running backs. But if you're playing in like a mass entry tournament where it's like there's a couple hundred thousand people, like the Millie Maker or, you know, things like that, then you have to differentiate yourself, because otherwise you're going to get stuck in limbo. Because even if those players hit that you're playing at running back, you're going with the flow, because those guys are going to be the highest owned players. You need to differentiate and find guys that could potentially score as many points and change your price point. Because when you change that price point, it forces different roster construction. And when you do that, obviously your roster is going to look different than everybody else's and have a better shot to win those. So it just depends on the kind of tournament you're playing. Because if you're playing a smaller one, you almost play those games kind of like it is a cash game lineup, and you kind of throw a player or two, you throw them out, and you throw in a higher upside player that might be lesser owned. So it just depends on the tournament you're playing.
I agree with that, but for the most part with running back, I'm still sticking to my guns. I don't care if they're the highest owned. If they're the three best running backs that week, they might finish as the three best running backs, and a lot of people are going to be fading that, trying to get cute, going with Miles Sanders against Washington. I guess I don't mind Miles Sanders. Like if you're spending cheap on a running back this week on cash games, are you going Miles Sanders? Well, for me, it's Matt Breida.
Yeah, Breida, it would definitely be the cash game guy. But Miles Sanders, he's like, I'm going to have him in a lot of lineups.
Yeah, he's going to be like 20% owned in GPP, and for good reason. You don't know if they're just going to run him into the ground against Washington and he's going to go nuts.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, he might be under-owned. I don't think people are going to like be buying in on him, even in tournaments. I don't think his ownership is going to be that high. So the Eagles last year against Washington, a better Washington team than they're fielding this week, because Washington, they're missing their starting left tackle. The offensive line looks like crap. It's a worse team. They lost a few players on defense as well. The Eagles last year with, you know, like a lesser squad than they have this year. So it's basically, there's a reason that the Eagles are 9-point favorites here. Last year, the Eagles totaled 29 and 30 carries in their two games against the Redskins. So let's just say that they get that same thing. Even though the teams are even further apart than they were last year, let's say they get the exact same 30 carries. Darren Sproles isn't getting more than like three. So therefore, we're looking at 27 carries to split between Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders. I think it's possible that Miles Sanders gets 15 carries in this game. And if he does against Washington, like if Miles Sanders is living up to the hype that everybody's building for him, I think we could see like a big game and people are like, damn. And I think this is the last time we're going to see him priced at $3,900 on DraftKings.
He's $3,900 on DraftKings. I'm looking at FanDuel and he's $6,000. Man, you almost have to play him on DraftKings. Like even if he just gets a dozen carries, he's going to hit value.
Yeah, how I feel about it. So, but Matt Breida at $4,000, you know, with him popping up top the depth chart, knowing they're playing against Tampa Bay, that's a matchup that I think it's safer to play Breida. But I'm telling you that Miles Sanders,
I think Sanders might be safer than Breida, because we know Sanders is getting at least 10 touches. We know Matt Breida is getting at least 8 touches. Like, yeah, he's at the top of the depth chart, but Coleman's not going away. Maybe Breida gets 18 touches, but I think it's more likely Sanders gets 18 touches than Breida, and I think it's more likely Sanders gets 10 touches than Breida.
Well, didn't that change your point of view, though? Like, understanding, like, what the Eagles ran against Washington last year, and then, like, knowing it's, like, trying to split those carries up. Wendell Smallwood's gone. Corey Clement. Like, these players are not...
Josh Adams is gone, yeah.
They're not stealing carries. Like, that's what I'm saying. They're not going to split them up.
I can't use Sanders in cash games, because if he fumbles, he might come out, and he's very fumble-prone.
Yeah, he did at Penn State. He had that issue, but I don't know, man. Like, I'm with you. I think we have our core group of running backs this week that we don't need to play him in cash, but I think Miles Sanders is a phenomenal play.
Yeah, that's a really good call, man. Anybody else cheap that you're fond of?
Not really. Breida was the only other one I wanted to mention in that because I just feel like at 4,000, like, he's going to hit value.
It would have been Pollard, obviously, if Zeke was out. And some people are still going to use Pollard. I wouldn't recommend that. Zeke is, they say, 20 to 25 snaps this game, which is, you know, probably leaves 40, 50 snaps for Pollard. I don't trust that at all. If Zeke is healthy and he goes out there the first possession, he looks good, they're not taking him out of the game.
Zeke's going to be fine. Honestly, the biggest concern that people have is like, oh, they're going to beat the crap out of the Giants. Well, if they do, Zeke's going to be part of the reason they beat the crap out of the Giants. So it's like if they pull him in the second half, it's like the damage has already been done. But again, with Zeke, you're paying up. It's $9,200. Like, you're paying for a big performance. So you don't want to do that in cash. But Pollard, again, that's uncertainty. You do not want uncertainty in your cash lineups. And for those who are listening, by the way, cash lineups are when you're doing like head-to-heads. You're doing things that are 50-50s. Basically, if you finish in the top half of scores, you're going to win money. And that's basically what, when we're referring to cash games, that's what that means. When we're talking about GPPs or we're talking about tournaments, those are basically top-heavy tournaments where it's like you want to finish towards the top. You don't need to play it safe. You don't want to play it safe because that's not going to win you big money. So just to differentiate the two, because again, I know some people are just now getting into DFS and, you know, they might struggle to differentiate the two.
Tags, I like to think outside the box. I like to come up with what ifs. What are the odds of this happening? You know, this could actually happen. So what would happen then? But in cash games, the name of the game is don't get cute. Don't blow it. You start the obvious plays. I don't care if they're 90% owned. You start the best plays. That's Chris Carson. That's Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette. I've got Mark Ingram in that conversation. Matt Breida, Miles Sanders. I wouldn't consider anybody else.
Yeah, basically in cash games, that's a good core.
So, Tags, we've got ownership projections on our site now for the main slate on FanDuel and DraftKings, okay? The ownership projections will help. It's going to tell you who people are willing to invest their hard-earned money on. And people don't want to waste their money. We've got Chris Carson projected to be the highest-owned running back this week on FanDuel, 37.8%. On DraftKings, we've got him at 29.8%, just behind Dalvin Cook. Because there's on DraftKings, the prices aren't quite as high as they are on FanDuel, so you've got some more money to spend, so more people are going to go up to Cook. But the other guys there, Ingram, Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, a lot of people are going to spend on Barkley. I don't think you need to this week. And then another one we didn't talk about at all, Austin Eckler. Obviously, Melvin Gordon's out, Tags. It's not a great matchup, but they are at home, 6.5-point favorites. Do you like Eckler this week?
Again, this comes back to uncertainty, not knowing if Eckler is going to get those goal line carries or not. You know, the Colts are one of the teams in the NFL that they did not allow a single running back to hit 100 yards in the ground. So it's not like that. And are they going to fall behind the Colts? Probably not likely. So do they need to target the running back position as if you're in a hurry up offense trying to come back mode? I don't necessarily think so. So just the fact that there's uncertainty there with Eckler, that's the reason I wouldn't consider him.
I like Eckler. Like, if you simulate 1,000 games, yeah, I think he outperforms his salary. I don't know if he hits value as often as some of the other guys, but the problem for me is I think there's a 60% chance Eckler leads his team in touches this week because of the game script. I think there's a 40% chance Justin Jackson does. I don't want a guy with a 60% chance at leading his backfield in touches, so I'm avoiding Eckler in cash games.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think this week we should be, I want to be clear about this. So week one, I love week one DFS. I feel like it's one of the more profitable weeks for me. But I also want to make it clear that there's so much value on the board because these prices came out a few weeks ago that I believe you have to shoot for 3x with players, just because I think people are ahead of the curve this week. I think you're going to see higher scoring fantasy lineups on these DFS sites just because people have had time to take in all the information, find the values on there. We talked about running backs that are in the $5,000-$6,000 range that are stupid values. A lot of people are going to play them. And so it's almost like you want to shoot for 3x in cash. So when you start talking about players that, yeah, he probably should hit that value, what can he hit 3x? Can he do that? And that's basically what we're looking at.
So, like, for Saquon Barkley, he needs 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 5 receptions. I don't know if that's going to happen. That does not seem safe at all. Like, the odds of that happening against Dallas, maybe 20%. You don't want that in your cash game lineup. I get it. He's probably the best running back in fantasy football with Alvin Kamara not playing on the main slate, but there's better values.
Yeah, I think we agree on that. And that's where at the running back position, it might be a week where it's like in tournaments, you might want to pay up for running backs because it's like that's going to force you to play some cheaper wide receivers. And again, that roster construction will be different. But yeah.
Tags, I don't have a lock at wide receiver. There's a lot of value out there that I'm fond of, but none that really stands out above everybody else. I'm looking at our projected ownership. We're expecting Tyler Lockett to be heavily owned against Cincinnati. But again, we don't know if Russell Wilson's going to throw the ball even 20 times in this game script. Plus, it might be raining during the game. They can run the ball all day, so why not? D.D. Westbrook's going to be highly owned. Who do you like?
I'm starting every lineup with Adam Thielen.
Okay, yeah, he's number 3 on our board.
Yeah, 6,800 on DraftKings. I will play him, especially once the Diggs news came out, because when I wrote the primer, I kind of talked about it saying that, you know, Diggs can steal some upside, yada, yada. But I felt like Thielen was always the safer player. But now that we have Diggs in the injury report, I think it's like a lock that Thielen's safer. And the reason we saw Thielen's performance, you know, trend downward at the end of last year, we found out that he had a back injury. He was playing through some back fractures, which is crazy. So we did see a decline in production. We saw Stephon Diggs moving up. Diggs was healthy. Obviously, Thielen was not. So I happen to like Adam Thielen an awful lot. He's going to be my cash game lineup. And Odell Beckham, being we're saving money at the running back position, we can pay up. We could either do tight end or we can pay up for a big name wide receiver. And I chose to go with Odell.
I immediately thought of your boom, bust, and everything in between and just how consistent and reliable Beckham has been. It's a good one, Tex.
Went on the field. And that's the thing. It's like Tennessee. So the reason I like Beckham so much is because, and it kind of goes with Baker Mayfield, because Tennessee has a great run defense. Like, they're really good against the run. They've been for like the past like 4 years, they've been one of the better teams against the run. So Nick Chubb might find difficulty, especially with that offensive line, but that secondary can be had. Like, Adoree Jackson and Malcolm Butler, they do not have the chops to hang with Odell Beckham. And I've heard rumors that Adoree Jackson might shadow Beckham. Good freaking luck, dude.
Good luck for anyone, let alone Adoree Jackson.
Yeah, like, people have called Adoree Jackson a bust. I don't necessarily think he's a bust. I think he's a solid NFL player. I mean, but some people are just mad where they took him. Butler was one of the worst cornerbacks in football for the first two-thirds of last season. He got better as the year went on, but these guys can't cover Beckham. And Baker Mayfield, like, I know that Mayfield says it's going to take some time to develop chemistry with Beckham. No, it's not. No, it's not. Like, Beckham's going to get open, and you have like one of the most accurate arms in the NFL. So you're going to hit him, and it's going to happen. And like, the thing is, it's like, this is like, hey, Cleveland, like, we're going to win a game. Did you know the Browns have not won a season opener since, like, I think it's like 2004?
What? Oh, that is sad, man.
Yeah. So I think this is like a, hey, Cleveland, this is our team. This is why we went out and got Odell Beckham. And I think, like I said, it's just like a massive week for Odell Beckham, considering the matchup and everything that goes into place. Now, there might be a little bit more risk than I usually would take in cash, but looking at the wide receiver position up top, I mean, Julio Jones against Minnesota, Tyreek Hill is matched up with Jalen Ramsey. I like Keenan Allen, but
by the way, Jalen Ramsey called Tyreek Hill a special teams player.
He did that. Yeah, he did last year. I
can't wait to watch that. There's nothing I'm looking forward to more this week than watching Jalen Ramsey against Tyreek Hill. It's just watching him play. It's my favorite thing in all of sports.
he's a freak, dude. He's so fast and so quick. It's just, you're not supposed to be able to move like that.
So smart. Yeah.
But and
wait, you're talking about Hill? I'm talking about Jalen Ramsey, baby. Ramsey's a freak. Ramsey's fast. Ramsey's quick.
He is, but he's also physical. And like, if Hill can avoid that press, then like, he can sneak past him and it could be like a really big play. But I mean, I'm not going to play Tyreek Hill in cash games this week, obviously, because you just don't do that against Jalen Ramsey. I don't care who's playing against him. He's really freaking good.
By the way, last year he went for a 4 receptions, 61 yards, and no score.
Yep. Patrick Mahomes didn't throw a touchdown against Jacksonville last year. We'll get to that in a moment. But yeah, Beckham is there for me. And I think another one that a guy that I have been like almost, I don't want to say actively not drafting. I wasn't like a huge fan, but Tyler Boyd is someone that should probably be in lineups this week. I mean, Seattle. So the cornerback that they were going to be starting in the slot this year, he actually suffered a like potentially career ending injury to his neck. So they're going to go back to Akeem King. He's a guy that played a part-time role for the Seahawks last season. He saw just 11 targets in coverage all year. On those 11 targets, he allowed 61 yards and 2 touchdowns. So after losing Justin Coleman, it was a big thing for Seattle. You know, they do bring pressure, but Tyler Boyd is the slot receiver. That's where he's going to play when they're in 3 wide sets, which should be quite often in this game. So Tyler Boyd should get targeted, like, I would say a minimum 7-8 times in this game. And to get him at 5,800 just feels like a steal.
All right, I'll tell you something else I love about Tyler Boyd in just a minute, but first I want to tell you about Fantasy Draft, the only rake-free daily fantasy site in the business. They've partnered with Hooters to bring you the largest guaranteed rake-free contest lineup in the history of daily fantasy sports, including the $1 million Hooters kickoff. That's right, Fantasy Draft is hosting the first rake-free contest with a guaranteed prize pool of $1 million. Listen, as other fantasy sites continue to raise rake, prize pools are being squeezed, making it harder for players like you to win. Whether you want to call it rake, commission, or management fee, the days of paying 10, 12, or even 15% or more of your entry fee to fantasy companies are over. No longer will you lose 30% of your bankroll to the house. Only on Fantasy Draft are 100% of the entry fees paid out to contest winners 100% of the time. To access all of Fantasy Draft's exclusive rake-free contests, including that Hooters Million Dollar Kickoff, all you need to do is become a member. Sign up at fantasydraft.com today with promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word. You'll get a free 7-day trial membership. That's fantasydraft.com, promo code FANTASYPROS. Don't miss your shot at this incredible million-dollar rake-free contest and its $100,000 top prize. You know what I also love about Boyd for this week is that Seattle's going to bring the pass rush. Cincinnati obviously has one of the worst, if not the worst, offensive line in football. And when the play breaks down, Tyler Boyd is as good as you can find outside of the top three or four route runners in the league. We know exactly who those guys are, right? Julian Edelman, Keenan Allen, all those guys. But Tyler Boyd will find space. He runs into seams. He will get open. And he's got no competition for targets this week. You'd say what you want about Tyler Eifert, but what is he? Like maybe a fringe top 10 tight end when he's healthy? Tyler Boyd's going to get all the work. They're going to be playing from down. This is a good call, Tags. I like Tyler Boyd. I don't have him in my lineup, but I'm thinking about him. I do have Thielen in my lineup. Beckham is on the fringe. I mean, I've got him as my wide receiver one this week. I just don't know if I want to spend that much money. For me, the guy that I am willing to spend some money on is Mike Evans against San Francisco. This is going to be a shootout, man. 50.5 points.
He's one of the other players that I would consider paying up for. But again, if I only have to pay $200 more for Beckham, I'll do it just because I think that there's the potential is just like for a massive ceiling. The only reason Evans, like I'm wondering about is because like, does the alignment change with Mike Evans under Bruce Arians? You know, if he plays more at the right wide receiver position, he's going to get matched up with Richard Sherman more. Sherman was pretty good last year. Like he's not done with football. He may not be a shutdown corner anymore, but he's still good. You know, Chris Godwin getting all the hype that he did playing through the preseason.
I'm fine with Godwin too. You can use both of them at Godwin's price, but Mike Evans, 5 straight years of 1,000 yards.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Evans actually has struggled with Jameis Winston for whatever reason. Like he did better with Fitzpatrick.
Probably because Jameis Winston's always thrown to Cameron Brate.
It's just more about the new offense, I think. And like, you know, like things changing there. And it's like, I want to see how they value Godwin. And it's like, you know, do they target OJ Howard more because San Francisco can be had with tight ends.
But why don't you feel that way about Adam Thielen then? Because they've got a new offensive coordinator. And when the offensive coordinator came in, they hardly pass the ball.
No, well, I mean, that's true. And they do want to be a run-first football team. But I also know that the slot is like an area that you could just beat up Atlanta continually over and over and over again. And Thielen, like his price is just too nice. Like if Thielen was up there at like 7,900, like by Mike Evans, I think it would be more of a conversation. But saving over $1,000 in your lineup, I think it's worth it.
So what do you think about those guys, Tyler Lockett, DD Westbrook, that everyone is going to want to play this week?
DD's not bad. He's cheap enough, right? Like he's only 4,800 on DraftKings. I don't mind. If you want to like look for a cheap option, I think Westbrook is probably one of the better ones down there as far as safety goes, because he will get targets. I think Larry Fitzgerald also belongs in that conversation, even though some people won't put Fitzgerald in that conversation. I don't know why.
I've got him there. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, like he's one of the players that we know like is going to be in the lineup. Again, it's like that San Francisco thing where it's like Marquise Goodwin, people like him as a sleeper this week because he's the only one that we know is starting, right? I think Dante Pettis does, but we know Larry Fitzgerald's going to be out there. Christian Kirk wasn't out there with the first team offense all the time. Andy Isabella played into the fourth quarter. Michael Crabtree signed 2 weeks ago. They cut Kevin White. Like we hear good things about Keyshawn Johnson, but this is a guy that he's a rookie. Larry Fitzgerald is going to play. And he's going to get targeted if Kyler Murray knows what he's doing. And I surely hope he does. So Larry Fitzgerald at 4,900. I would lean Fitzgerald over DD Westbrook. But I understand why people would go DD if they really like him. It's just they're basically the same price. So I have Fitzgerald higher in my rankings, which is why I would go there.
You could make a case for using either of these guys. I understand it. I'm not going to. Who else are you using, Tags?
I mean, the list of guys is not great in cash. I mean, that's why I've kind of pay up at wide receiver this week because I've saved some money at running back, and I also have values at tight end too. So Marvin Jones is someone that's interesting, but again, I don't think you want to play him in cash. There's just some uncertainty there.
He's kind of a boom or bust player historically.
Yeah, let's pretend that you're looking for someone really cheap. Like, hey, I just want a really cheap guy in my wide receiver 3 slot, you know, under 4,000. If you're looking for that, Trey Quinn is someone I would play at 3,400. So against the Eagles, their cornerback position is meh. That game script, we know it's not going to favor guys like, you know, Darius Geis and Adrian Peterson. So when you're double-digit underdogs, which is essentially what they are, Trey Quinn should lead this team in targets. We don't know. Now it's saying that Jordan Reed isn't for sure to play. It's like, where do these targets go, guys? Like, it has to be Trey Quinn. And especially with that offensive line, the state that it's in, there has to be an outlet for Case Keenum. And Keenum has targeted his slot receiver an awful lot over the last few years in different offenses, mind you. So I think Trey Quinn at 3,400, he could be someone that you just kind of like, if you're looking for a dirt cheap option at wide receiver, I do believe he can hit 3X.
Someone I've got in my cash game lineups tags, and I want your opinion on him in case I'm missing something here, okay? Alshon Jeffrey going up against Washington. Everyone loves Carson Wentz this week for a reason. Washington's really easy to pass against. I know Alshon is not a top 20 wide receiver in everyone's draft rankings because he gets injured so often, but right now he's healthy. So why wouldn't I play him as a top 20 guy?
For me, it's his price. You know, the game script can go south where the Eagles throw the ball 25 times, and that would obviously be a detriment to Alshon. It's just the game script worries me a little bit about that one. Like, it's very possible that he, you know, goes for 60 yards and a touchdown. Josh Norman wasn't very good last year. He actually had a lot more touchdowns in his coverage than any other cornerback in the league. So he wasn't very good. I mean, it's not to say that Josh Norman's bad at football or anything like that, because I still think he can play, and that's who Jeffrey's going to see the majority of time. It's just guys around him. You have Cooper Kupp, Tyler Lockett, Chris Godwin. Those are guys in his price range that I would much rather play.
So if you're going cheap, D.D. Westbrook is one option we've talked about. What do you think about Curtis Samuel, who's going to be very heavily used on DraftKings at 4,200? And do you have any other cheap plays that you're fond of?
Tournament only for Samuel. I have him on my list. But I would not play him in cash. There's just question marks on how that offense is going to work. But yeah, Trey Quinn is my cheap option. I mean, Jamison Crowder at 4,100 is probably not a bad play either, but I don't want to do that.
You stole my thunder, man. I'm using Jamison Crowder. Bring it on this week.
I can't do it. I don't think he's a bad play. I'm not excited when I play him. You know, when you get down into this range, it's very unlikely you're going to be excited to play anybody. But I think that Trey Quinn has just a similar opportunity this week, and he's a $700 cheaper.
You know, the only other guy that I would consider here is Marquise Goodwin for cheap. He's 4,000 on DraftKings going up against Tampa Bay. We know that he's playing. We know Jimmy G loves him. But for me, it's kind of like a Marvin Jones situation. I love the upside. If I simulate the game 1,000 times, I love his average production. I think he hits value in that average. But there's going to be a lot of cases where he doesn't, because he's just this big play receiver and maybe he doesn't catch one of those big ones. All right, any other wide receivers for cash games you want to mention before we move on?
No, we hit him in.
Okay, let's do it. Quarterback position, you talked about some value that you like here. Who are your guys?
There's a few guys, and this is going to be like the tricky part of my lineups for me, because like I'm struggling. Kyler Murray makes all the sense at 5,600 against Detroit, but the issue is that Detroit was really good at containing mobile quarterbacks last year. They played some of the best rushers in all of football. Like, they played against Russell Wilson. They played against Mitch Trubisky. They played against Josh Allen. And I remember everybody was playing Josh Allen that week.
Right. I remember you talking about this.
And the thing, and I told people, I said, well, I get it. It makes sense. But there was only one quarterback all year who rushed for more than 20 yards against them. And it wasn't any of those guys. They played against Dak Prescott, Cam Newton, too. So that's my concern. The reason that you want to like him is because there's a whole lot of, you know, a mystery surrounding Cliff Kingsbury's offense and what he's going to do in Arizona.
He's great for GPP, but you can't use him in cash, in my opinion.
At 56, it's tough to pass him up just because he's so cheap. It's like, if we're looking for 3X, it's like, can he score 16 points? Yeah. Like, that should be relatively easy for a competent quarterback against Detroit. But if you want to look a little bit lower, I think that Kirk Cousins makes sense at 5,500, though, you know, the whole thing with Stephon Diggs takes a little air out of those sales.
I was going Cousins until the Stephon Diggs thing, so I'm off Cousins at this point. I mean, how can you not use Jacoby Brissett? $4,400? I mean, all he needs to hit value. We're talking about 13 points, man? He's going to get that?
I don't want to do it. Not against the Chargers. I can't do it.
Is he or is he not going to hit 13 points?
He probably will. I mean, he probably will. I am not. I mean,
it feels boring, but like, winning cash is not boring.
It's not boring. It's definitely not. And I know there's a lot of people that are probably going to play him, but I don't think that he's as mobile as people think. Like, I think he'll rush. He might rush for 20 or 30 yards. But I struggle to find him throwing a touchdown this week. Like LA is, they're a solid defense, even without Derwin James. So
he's got some playmakers on his team, though. I mean, let's not forget that. And the Colts did just sign him for $15 million a year. They've got some confidence in it, man.
Oh, the Colts. It's so tough, man. Like, there's quarterback for me is like the toughest one to figure out, because again, Kyler, I think you make some sense in terms of like not wanting to trust him just yet, but his price is so appealing that it's like, I don't know. I know a lot of people are going to play Josh Allen. I'm not one of them. Jimmy Garoppolo at 58, but he hasn't looked great throughout the preseason.
I don't think you can play Josh Allen or Garoppolo in cash games. Let's just push that aside for now.
What about Lamar Jackson at 6K?
He's fine. Yeah, I mean, you can use, especially against Miami, I mean, you can use Lamar Jackson at 6K on DraftKings. I don't love his price on FanDuel because he's only $100 cheaper than my guy, Jameis Winston. But on DraftKings, yeah, Lamar Jackson is probably my go-to right now, even over Jacoby Brissett.
I'm thinking about him because he's at 6,000. He's just a little bit more expensive, and I think we know what we'll get. You know, Miami, that front seven is not very good, but that's another one. It's like game script. It's like, does Lamar Jackson need to run the ball a whole lot in that game? Probably not. They're probably handed off to the running backs, and that's the reason that you like Mark Ingram as much as you do. So then you start getting into the questions like, okay, can I cut salary somewhere else to pay up? And if you're going to pay up, who are you going to play, Bobby?
Well, I'm playing Jameis Winston. A lot of people are on DraftKings, at least, are going to be playing Carson Wentz. He's predicted for the third most fantasy points. That's our consensus projections, where we draw projections from various sites. But he's the 13th most expensive quarterback on DraftKings.
It's not a bad price for him. But again,
it's like you talked about with Alshon Jeffrey. Like, are they going to pass the ball 30 times? Maybe.
Right. Do they need to? And I think that's the question I have.
But I mean, their predicted score is 28 points.
It is. It's massive.
They're going to do something in the first half, and it's likely going to be through the air. And then, sure, maybe they slow it down, but I think he's safe.
Yeah, he actually probably is a good one. Like, looking at it and thinking about it, that's what I'm saying. The quarterback position is one I'm going to be up in the air on for a little bit. I think even going up to Baker at 64 or Jameis, as you mentioned, 6600, I think those guys are in consideration for me. One player I will recommend everyone stay away from is Patrick Mahomes. At 7200, like, I mean, he can hit value for sure, but that's like, you're assuming things. You're saying that the Jags defense is, you know, worse than they were last year.
When they gave up zero touchdowns to Patrick Mahomes, by the way.
They actually held them in check. So maybe like...
And that was in Kansas City, wasn't it? This one's in Jacksonville.
I believe it was in Kansas City. I'm not positive on that, but I think it was. But yeah, he would be one guy that if you want to play him, it's strictly tournaments, but I wouldn't even play him there.
Hey, by the way, I wanted to mention, since I like Jameis Winston, I don't like him on DraftKings. He's $900 more expensive than Carson Wentz. And I've got him ranked lower than Carson Wentz this week. But on FanDuel, he's a little bit cheaper, so I like Jameis Winston. But you know what? The more I'm thinking about it, and this is why we talk about this, Tags, is because Jameis Winston hasn't really been the safest cash game play, even in good matchups, because he can just melt down, as we've seen before. Now, it is a good matchup against San Francisco. They're implied for 26 points, going to be a high-scoring game, but Carson Wentz just might be safer. I don't know.
He might be. For cash games, it might be safer. That offensive line in Tampa, the concern you have is that San Francisco's pass rush got a whole lot better with Bosa and D Ford. That pass rush is going to get to Jameis. It's just a question of, can they get the ball out quickly? Have the game plan well enough? I'm sure Arians has. But that's why it's so tough. I want to stick with one of the cheaper quarterbacks so I could fit some of the bigger skill position players in there. But it's tempting to play Jameis, I'll say that.
You know, you may be hearing us say six or seven names, and you're like, come on, just give me the one guy that you want to play. But here's what it comes down to. Build the rest of your lineup, and then look at these seven guys, see how much money you have left, and use one of those. Jameis Winston, Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford, Carson Wentz, Kyler Murray. There's a lot of good options. Kirk Cousins, Jacoby Brissett. Anyone else you want to throw in, Tags?
Well, no, it's the reason that this is happening is because it's the same thing that happened in drafts. When we told people, we're like, just let everyone else that in your draft decide who you're going to wind up with a quarterback. Just kind of take the guy that's remaining. And it's I think Bobby hit the nail on the head here, saying build your roster the way that you feel comfortable in cash, and then go back to the quarterback position and say, okay, this is what I have available. And then you make your decision from there.
All right, fantasy football fans, listen up. Sideboss is offering a free-to-play season-long NFL handicapping contest with $50,000 in cash prizes. Pick five games per week for 17 weeks and earn your title as the boss with a $15,000 grand prize. Sideboss is going to be awarding quarterly and weekly prizes throughout the season. Any week in the NFL, you can go 5-0, you win some dough. And if you haven't participated in a handicapping contest before, now's your chance to be rewarded and earn the title of Donkey Boss with a last place prize of $1,000. In addition to our free-to-play pick'em contest, Sideboss is also offering pay-to-play games throughout the season. Go to sideboss.com, click to play the 2019 Pro Football Pick'em Contest, and enter promo code FANTASYPROS upon signup. That's sideboss.com, promo code FANTASYPROS. Tags, let's go to tight end. I mentioned Travis Kelce going up against Jacksonville. You don't want to play him. He's $7,100. Now, Travis Kelce's great, but he's not a great bet to hit value. There are some good bets to hit value, though, especially on DraftKings, where you've got Hunter Henry, Tags, $3,900.
Yeah, he's one of the plays that I definitely think you should consider, especially with Melvin Gordon not playing in this game. Now, we actually know that now. Melvin Gordon's not going to play in week one. So Hunter Henry's definitely interesting. I mean, he's not the one that I think I'm going to go with. I think I'm going to go with Evan Engram at 4,800.
Wow.
Engram, that game script and like the lack of receiving options for the Giants, I feel like Engram's going to crush. And if you look through his game logs in games that with and without Odell Beckham, like without Beckham in the lineup, Evan Engram gets peppered with targets and he's done really well in those games.
But when Beckham wasn't in the lineup, they didn't have Saquon. When Saquon's in the lineup, Engram doesn't get as many targets. That's my concern. And he's not especially efficient. Like, if you compare his efficiency to Hunter Henry or OJ Howard, it is not even close. Evan Engram has not been efficient at all.
Right, but I don't have concerns about the target share for Engram this week. Whereas like Henry, you know, we talked about the Chargers and like, you know, they're a team that's at home. They're favorites in that game against Jacoby Brissett.
And we don't know who he is coming off the injury either. But $3,900 for the number six tight end?
I'm not going to say he's a bad play. And if you need to save $900, that's where you go. I just, Engram is $900 more expensive. And I just feel really like, I feel like the floor is what I'm searching for with him. And I love it. However, there is another option if you want to go cheaper and you need to save $1,300.
Mark Andrews?
Delanie Walker.
Oh, Delanie Walker's a good one, too. I thought you were going to say Andrews or Will Disley. All three of those are good options. I mean, this is the type of week in DraftKings where there's such good values at tight end, you could legitimately use your flex for a tight end and then just stack at running back wide receiver.
It kind of makes sense. Like, if you wanted to play someone like Engram and Hunter Henry, you could do that. And it's like, Henry for $3,900, if you go look at the wide receivers that you get for $3,900, they don't have the touchdown upside that Hunter Henry does.
Based on Hunter Henry's projected points in our consensus, he would be the wide receiver 20 this week. The wide receiver 20 this week in terms of cost is $5,500. You're saving $1,600 by playing Hunter Henry.
It makes sense. I mean, I wouldn't do it in cash, but in tournament lineups, I think like people have done that where they've won tournaments with playing multiple tight ends. It's rare. It is rare. But it's definitely doable. If you're paying up, let's say someone's like, I've saved so much money, I have so much value at wide receiver, I want to pay up a tight end. Which of the big three tight ends, or maybe even big four tight ends, are you paying up for?
Oh, the big four. I guess you'd put Howard in there.
Yeah, I put Howard in there just because it's like he's the fourth most expensive. His matchup is a little bit tougher. I'm going to go with Zach Ertz.
Me too. It's Zach Ertz for me. Just ahead of Kittle, but it's Ertz.
Yeah, the reason I'm saying Ertz is because like this is an important part. So safeties often cover tight ends. That's usually how it works. You'll get linebackers. Sometimes you'll have a cornerback. But most of the time, you'll get safeties that match up with them. The new safety duo, there's a brand, and that's another thing. So new safety duos that are working together, these are guys that basically they might struggle with communication to start, where, you know, they don't know each other very well. It's like it takes a while to develop that chemistry. So when you see some of the best safety duos in the league, usually it's guys that have been together for a while. They have two new safeties in Washington. It's Landon Collins and Monte Nicholson. All right, so people are going to look and see the Redskins, they were sixth against defending tight ends last year. That was with DJ Swearinger. Swearinger was one of the better safeties at covering tight ends. However, Collins and Nicholson in coverage, they both ranked inside the bottom eight in all of football in coverage.
That's great information, man, because everyone sees Landon Collins and they're like, this guy's the GOAT. He is really good, but you're right. He's not good in coverage.
Yeah, and it's a new defense. It's a new system. There's a lot of things that can make players look better, look different. And, you know, replacing two new safeties is tough to do. They've also lost a couple linebackers. So I do think that Zach Ertz, if you want to pay up, I don't think you need to this week, but if you wanted to, I think Ertz would be my pick.
So we've primarily been talking about tight end salaries on DraftKings, but over on FanDuel, it's a lot closer. Like Hunter Henry, $6,100.
Oof.
I think I'd pay down and go $4,000 for Will Disley, even in a cash game.
I can't do Disley in cash, but because like this week we have just too much value around that I don't need to go down that low.
Not so much on FanDuel though. Like where's the value you're finding on FanDuel? You gonna pay $7,100 for Zach Ertz? You gonna pay $5,400 for Delanie Walker?
That's more expensive than I would hope.
Right.
But so FanDuel is a little different though, where it's like a lot of times you'll find, like you can get more players in there. I feel like DraftKings has always been more strategic where it's like, you have to play a couple guys that you're not like entirely sure about, where FanDuel, you can find some better value sometimes, but week one is different. I think you could find value on both sites to where you don't really have to pay down a tight end.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to do Disley for cash games. This is one position like quarterback where I just can't make up my mind. Cause there's not any great values. Like quarterback, there's a ton of great values. Tight end on FanDuel, there's not many great values. So it's just kind of which mediocre one do I want to trust?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough, man.
Hey, by the way, I just want to remind you guys, Tags is going to be doing his Q&A Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time at youtube.com/fantasypros. If you don't mind, go ahead and subscribe to that channel. We're kind of new on YouTube, so we're trying to grow our channel. And then you'll get notifications when Tags or I are doing our live streams. And Tags and I do a live stream together talking about waiver wire on Tuesdays as well. All right, Tags, DST, who are you rolling with? Are you just going as cheap as you can this week?
I don't know. Again, this is a week where there's just so much value on the slate. There's so many different ways to build your roster, and I think that's why it's always been like a good week for me in terms of week one, because usually there is a lot of value, and I'm a value player, and I'm a better cash game player. I've always admitted that, because I'm just like all about like the odds, and I play the odds, and sometimes I'm not enough of a risk taker. So on defense this week, it's really tough not to play the Ravens at 3,800. I mean, you're paying for them for sure, but I mean, this Dolphins team is tanking. Like, it's the definition of tanking, right? They have DGAF, Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. The Ravens have the best cornerback trio in all of football. And they just lost their starting left tackle. Like, the left tackle for Ryan Fitzpatrick is the guy that allowed, I think it was 14 sacks by himself last year with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's a very mobile quarterback, guys.
Holy
cow. When you allow 14 sacks in your own, like, it's ridiculous. So,
hey, Tags, can you clarify what DGAF means?
Do not give a... Yeah, that's when...
I wasn't expecting you to actually say anything, man. I was just trying to put you on the spot, but you don't care. You're apparently a DGAF.
No, my two-year-old is a DGAFer. Jay Cutler was one of those guys. But yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be like literally on his back half the game, and it's going to be rough for him. Like, he doesn't have receiving options to throw to. He doesn't have an offensive line. And it's not just the left tackle position. Like, Laremy Tunsil was the only guy on that offensive line that was an above-average talent. I think actually they're all now below average.
Same kind of thing as quarterback, Tags. How much money do you have left? That's how much you spend at DST. I've got the Seahawks going up against Cincinnati at home. That's a great play. Philadelphia at home against Washington. 10-point favorites. It's a great play. That's if you want to spend up a little bit. Obviously, Baltimore against Miami is a good play. They're the most expensive on FanDuel. But then here's some other ones. They're a little bit cheaper in that mid-range. New York Jets against Buffalo. Buffalo, by the way, is Josh Allen. Cleveland at home against Tennessee. They're pretty heavy favorites. Cleveland has one of the most improved defenses in the NFL. And then I'll also throw out Buffalo against the Jets and Sam Darnold. And my favorite this week, at least the one I've got penciled in right now, is Kansas City against Nick Foles. And I know you guys want to think Nick Foles is the savior of the Jags. I'm a Jags fan. He's a turnover machine. They're going to be playing from behind in this game. And Kansas City did have a top 10 DST last year, and they added some important pieces this offseason.
I think they also lost some important pieces to that team.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, they're in a new scheme there, and it's I just see that. I think Jacksonville is going to go run heavy, and if they can hold Mahomes in check, I think they could stick with that game plan. It's possible it goes the other way around, but I think there's a chance. The line in that game, what is it, 4?
Yeah, it's 4. So it's 52 over under, 28 for the Chiefs, 24 for the Jags. But even if they give up 24, DST is more about turnovers than it is points allowed. And I think Nick Foles is going to turn it over.
I would take the under in that game, by the way.
Oh, me too. Absolutely.
The Browns are another team that I would consider in cash at 3,400. You know, without Taylor Lewan, the starting left tackle, Miles Garrett is going to have a field day. Like, Olivier Vernon, like that team, the front four of the Browns is nasty. It might be like legitimately the best front four in all of football. They have a talented secondary, and they're an upcoming team. And that's why so many people are excited about the Browns. There's so much talent on this team. But that front four is going to get after Marcus Mariota, who looked like complete crap in the preseason. It's not to say that, you know, things don't change. They can, but I think the Browns are a good play at home.
The Titans have a pretty good offensive line, but not without Taylor Lewan. They're subpar without him.
It's not ideal for them.
All right, Tags, let's go GPP. And we're always going to do GPP a little bit quicker just because, like I said, you can make a case for any player GPP because all these random guys go off. You never know if Matthew Stafford's going to throw for 5 touchdowns. Now, obviously, I like him a little bit for cash games, so maybe he was a bad example. But what I'm trying to say is random guys go off all the time. We're trying to pick our favorites that we think have higher odds of going off. So just give me one team at DST, and then we'll move on to tight end, Tags.
Jacksonville. Jacksonville at home against the Chiefs. And I know people don't want to hear that. They're going to be like, you're playing a defense against the Chiefs. Yeah, I'm going to do it because at $2,300 to get that much talent on my defense.
We've got them at 1% owned, by the way. So that's some that's a contrarian play.
Jacksonville, so the thing is like when you get that much talent on a defense, as Bobby mentioned before, you're looking for a turnover. Patrick Mahomes, there were a lot of situations last year where it's like he threw the ball off his back foot. He threw the ball left-handed. He threw the ball like falling backward. Like he made so many impressive throws last year, and that's part of the reason that people love him is because he made those throws and he makes it look good. But if those things go wrong, if he tries to press the ball into coverage a little bit more, and the matchups are going to be tough, it's very possible that there's a pick six in this. And the outcome of this, where Jacksonville at home. Again, you're getting a team at home with that much talent on it for $2,300. It's all about the price for me. It allows you to do some crazy things with the rest of your lineup.
He's Brett Favre. Patrick Mahomes is Brett Favre, and Brett Favre is the all-time NFL leader in interceptions. I'm not saying Mahomes will do that or anything like that. I'm saying he's a gunslinger. He's a great gunslinger, but sometimes he makes mistakes, and it can happen, as we've seen with some great quarterbacks against this Jags secondary.
Did you see the commercial with Brett Favre and the Chicago sports guys?
I did. That was awesome, man. It was so good. I love Brett Favre, man.
It's such a good commercial.
If he wasn't on the Packers, Brett Favre would be like your favorite because he's a gem.
I actually loved Brett Favre. Even when, like, the thing is, I've always been like, I admire talent. Okay. So it has nothing to do with me being a homer or that I'm a Bears fan that I can't like. Aaron Rodgers, most talented quarterback I've ever watched. Brett Favre, he was a gamer, man. I appreciate what that guy brought to the game.
All right. Here's mine. I got the Tampa Bay Bucks. Horrible defense against Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy G looked horrible in the preseason. And if that carries over, yes, even the Bucs defense can take one to the house. As I've said, we've seen random defenses have big weeks. It really comes down to who's the lucky one who gets that pick six. And it could be the Bucs against Jimmy Garoppolo. So I don't mind them so much, especially for $3,500 on FanDuel.
I am not playing the Bucs. I will not do that.
All right.
But it could work out.
All right, tight end. Who do you have for GPP?
Honestly, tight end is the one position I don't veer off too much. Like Disley would be one of the guys that I would definitely mention just because that's the one position that I don't really want to think contrarian about because like that's the toughest one to like even in cash games, it's tough to predict. Like it's one of the most difficult ones to do. So basically you don't change much a tight end between cash and tournament. But if you're looking for like lower owned options, I would say Will Disley is one of them or
just say it tags. Just say it, baby.
Oh, see, Gerald Everett?
Jeff Swaim and make it rain.
Well, a lot of people are going to play Jeff Swaim. I think he's actually going to be higher owned.
I think Jeff Swaim is going to be under 1% ownership, and no. Every single person who plays him is going to be someone who has listened to our podcast, and they're all going to win $1 million.
I think Swaim is going to be more popular than you think.
Do you? Okay, he's off the injury report, by the way. I was waiting for that news. He didn't play as much in the preseason. They were taking it easy because they already had an injury to Josh Oliver. Swaim is going to get some targets against Kansas City, the worst team against tight ends last year.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I want to stick with my cash game ones, but if you're really searching for guys that are like very little owned, I think Disley and Gerald Everett would be the two I would think about.
I want to throw some water on Gerald Everett. I understand why you're saying that. Did you see the extension that they gave to Tyler Higbee this morning, Tex? $30 million.
That takes a little bit of the sales out of my Gerald Everett love. That doesn't make sense to me. Like Higbee was on the roster when they drafted Gerald Everett in the second round.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening there. I feel like, are they admitting a mistake? Are they really going to use tight ends that much more? I don't know, man.
No idea. All right, man, let's move on over to wide receiver. Why don't you give us two GPP plays that you like?
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned the one earlier. Curtis Samuel is somebody that I would debate. You know, Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib are good cornerbacks, but they're physical guys, and they want to get their hands on you. Samuel's going to be moved around. He might be tough to hang with. At 4,200, I think Samuel's probably going to wind up to be, I don't know if I can rank him as such because like target share, but I think Samuel might turn out to be the better play than DJ Moore this week, like all around, not just like from a price standpoint, but from like a overall production standpoint. So he would definitely be someone I would consider in tournaments. And I think the other one I'll mention is Dante Pettis. He's too expensive, first off, because these prices were made a couple weeks ago before people thought, you know, like that he was the locked in starter. He was the number one wide receiver there. I still think it's possible that he is that number one receiver. It's just that Kyle Shanahan is being whatever against Tampa Bay, that cornerback unit. As I talked about the Ravens being the best, the Bucs is probably the worst. Dante Pettis can beat that team. He did it last year. At 5,400, he's pricey, but I think because of that, he's not going to be much owned at all. And if you get him, like if he goes for, you know, six catches for 100 yards and a touchdown at 5,400, you're pretty happy.
I couldn't agree more. I was going to say Dante Pettis. Instead, I'm going to say someone who's just like Dante Pettis, Christian Kirk. He's lost a lot of steam in the preseason because he wasn't playing as much with the first team. Let's also remember, they're trying to keep this offense under wraps. There's a chance that Arizona comes out and they're amazing, and Christian Kirk is their number one, and he dominates. So I like him quite a bit. Now, I want to mention, there's a couple guys who are a lot cheaper, like Albert Wilson. We've talked about them before. Trey Quinn. I don't love them for GPP. You need someone in GPP who has a chance to score 20 points. I don't think that's really Albert Wilson. And someone that I think could do that is Rashard Higgins. He's going up against Tennessee. And as we mentioned, Tennessee has an awesome run defense. Not as good against the pass. Baker Mayfield loves Higgins. Higgins is going to play. He's their wide receiver three. Could definitely see him catching a long touchdown. Somebody else that I wanted to mention before we moved on is Julio Jones. Yeah, he's going up against Xavier Rhodes in Minnesota, so that's going to scare everyone off. But anytime you can get one of the best wide receivers in the game for 1% ownership, I think it's worth taking a chance.
Yeah, this is a good pivot off Odell Beckham. If you want to get away from Beckham and you think it's going to take some time with Mayfield and him, I think I would pivot to Rashard Higgins over Jarvis Landry, because Landry might be owned as a PPR guy, but Higgins is someone that's shown chemistry with Baker Mayfield, even dating back to last year. He was someone that I just feel like his skill has been undervalued, and now like Antonio Callaway is like not even on the depth chart. So and obviously he's suspended to start the year anyway. So you have the number three wide receiver if Baker is going to have a game. And if you want to pivot, again, off of Odell Beckham and get someone that's probably really low-owned at really, really cheap, I actually like this one.
All right, Tags, let's go GPP for running back. Give me two names.
We talked about a couple, and I think this might be a week where if you want to like pay up at running back to like just literally give yourself, like it's going to force you to pay down other positions. I think McCaffrey is someone, or Gurley. Those are the guys that I'm not going to play them in cash, but I think if you're doing tournament lineups, you could differentiate your lineups just because you're paying up for those guys. I think a lot of people are going to try and save some money at the running back position this week, and it makes sense, but that's where, you know, going up and paying for those guys is actually the contrarian thing to do this week.
Mm-hmm. So, Tex, you mentioned 3x value for cash games. GPP, what do you need? 4.5? Maybe 5x value?
It depends on the contest, but yes, you're probably going to need 4. It really does depend on the contest, how many people are in it. Obviously, the more people, the higher it goes. Like, you're going to see scores of like 230, 240 in some of the Millie Maker winning lineups, which is just, it's hard to hit those numbers. You have to hit on every single player.
So a guy like Nick Chubb against Tennessee, you might say, well, Nick Chubb's really good. They're going to be favorites. Maybe there's a chance that Nick Chubb is a great GPP play. Folks, he needs 36 fantasy points. The chances of that happening are what? Less than 1% against Tennessee? I would rather go down and spend on a guy like LeSean McCoy. We don't know how he's going to be using the offense. Or Justice Hill against Miami. They're going to be up big. Maybe they give him a lot of touches. There's guys like this. Chris Thompson, super cheap. Maybe he breaks an 80-yard touchdown and catches another 30-yard one. Guys like this can have big weeks and hit that 5x value. If you're going up, it's probably not going to happen. I'll throw in one more name. Derrick Henry against Cleveland. Yeah, they're not favorites in this game. But if Tennessee gets a lead and Derrick Henry gets 25 touches, nobody is going to play him. And if I can get 25 touches out of Derrick Henry, I love it. I'm not expecting it, but I think there's a 5% chance Tennessee has a double-digit lead.
I don't think they do that, but I will say this about Derrick Henry. He's a guy that legitimately can break an 80-yard run at any time, and that's rare to say for someone that's like a game script-dependent running back, but Henry has breakaway speed, and the Browns haven't been the greatest against the run. I think they have a better pass rush and cornerbacks than they do run-stopping. Like, their linebackers are the weakest point. It might not be bad. Like, just his price is obviously, you know, $5,900. He's more expensive than Chris Carson and like near Fournette and Cook, which is why he's not a cash game guy. But that might not be terrible in tournaments, though.
That's only if you have a lot of lineups. If you've got one lineup, don't use Derrick Henry. If you've got 25 lineups, sure, get some exposure.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Well, what do you think about the idea of using both Chris Carson and Rashad Penny in the same lineup? There's a chance both these guys get 100 yards this week.
I'm not going to do it.
We've seen two running backs from the same team win $1 million several times.
But it caps your upside, though. Like, I really think that I can't do it. I can't.
Okay, that's perfectly fine. You know what? There's one running back we didn't talk about at all in cash who's actually going to be heavily used. I need your take on Kerryon Johnson. This is for cash games.
It makes sense to like play Kerryon Johnson and like him this week, but not knowing how they're going to use CJ Anderson is the spoiler for me. Like, if I knew that they had like a crappy running back as a backup, then yes, I would be playing Kerryon Johnson everywhere. Arizona was the worst team in the league against running backs last year. They allowed, I think it was like 20 rushing touchdowns. But that's the thing. We don't know if Kerryon Johnson's the goal line back there. It's possible that he goes for 120 total yards but doesn't score a touchdown, and that CJ Anderson is kind of like a LeGarrette Blount, and he gets, you know, 10 carries and scores 2 touchdowns. That's very possible. And when that's possible, like, I just really need to, this is the week where you don't need to take chances like on someone like Kerryon Johnson, even if it is a good matchup. I just can't do it. In cash, you don't want to take risks, especially when there's so much good value on the board.
100% agree with everything you said. That's why I didn't bring up Kerryon Johnson, but a lot of people are considering playing him, so we did need to talk about him. Now, quarterback, my GPP play of the week is Cam Newton. It's usually Cam Newton, but a lot of people are forgetting about Cam Newton because he was bad at the end of the season when he had the shoulder issues. It was actually his most efficient passing season of all time, and he can still run the ball. I don't think he's going to as much this year, but there's a chance. Cam Newton is the QB1 this week against the Rams, and right now he's not priced like that.
The foot injury with me is what bumps him down, and the reason that I like McCaffrey a little bit more.
I agree. He's not safe, but is there a path with Cam Newton? I think the answer is always yes.
There is, but I mean, where he gets his upside, though, is like from running the football. And if he's not running the ball as much, that literally takes away the upside, where the game does have a high over, like, total, which is like, okay, but he just so much. I can't be on Cam this week. I understand, and I'm usually one of the...
And this is why he's going to be low-owned, is because of what you're saying. So I'm glad you're saying it.
No, I would rather play Baker. Baker at 64 in tournaments. Like, if you want, and you could stack Baker with other players. Baker would be one of my favorite tournament plays because, like, again, you're paying up. I don't think I can get there in cash with him. But if you were going down, like, let's say you wanted to pay down in a tournament, and you're just looking for a guy that... You need a guy that... Let's be clear. If the quarterback position, aiming for someone like Brissett and like saying, oh, if he gets 15 points, he gets value, that's not going to work. Like, you need to hit at the quarterback position.
Brissett's not going to hit 24 points. You need someone who's going to get 30. And 2 years ago, it was Jared Goff. Last year, it was Ryan Fitzpatrick. It has to be someone who could throw the ball 35 times for 4 or 5 touchdowns.
Who do you got down in that range that you think could hit that number?
All right, you guys ready to cringe? Marcus Mariota. We've seen him be the number one fantasy QB for an 8-week stretch of time when he was healthy. Going up against Cleveland, it's not a good matchup, but if the right Marcus Mariota shows up, it could be a big week.
I got to him, and I was like, this kind of makes sense, you know, with the game script and what I'm talking about.
And he can run one into the end zone, too.
He does. He can run the ball. Like, I don't know how much he's going to run anymore after all these injuries he's suffered.
You're going Nick Foles, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I can't.
A lot of people are. They're going to look at Kansas City and say, well, we've seen Nick Foles throw for 450 yards in the Super Bowl before.
Who's he throwing to is the question. Like the upside is like non-existent with him because I don't know who he's throwing to that all of a sudden where he's going to get 4 touchdowns. But like Stafford is someone that could if that game turns into a shootout.
He's not going to be low on though because it's such a good matchup. We've got him at 15% on, number 3 on the board on FanDuel.
Wow. I don't know, man. The quarterback is such a tough one for me this week. And it's like one of those things where it's like, again, it really is going to dictate how I build the rest of my lineup. But if price be damned, my favorite options would be Jameis Winston, Baker Mayfield. Those would be my top guys.
I'll tell you what, Tags, the listeners are getting some bonus time, but you know what? It's week one and you're a DGAF. So let's do this.
Yeah. And I've also had very little sleep.
So we're going to close out the show by giving me our GPP stack of the week, our cash game stack of the week, and our lock of the week for cash games, a single player. So give me your GPP stack of the week that you love.
Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham.
You know, I think a really interesting one is Jimmy G with like Marquise Goodwin and Matt Breida, because Matt Breida can make some noise in the passing game as well. And maybe Jimmy G sneaks in a touchdown pass to him and 2 touchdown passes to Marquise Goodwin. I think that would be a really sneaky one in GPP that I like. For cash games, my stack of the week, this is really weird because usually you go quarterback, wide receiver, right? I'm going Chris Carson and the Seahawks defense.
Great correlation.
The game theory works with it, right? If the Seahawks defense is playing well, Chris Carson's going to get a lot of carries.
That's a good correlation. Yeah, in cash games, I tend not to like really even think about a stack. You do want to do it in tournaments because it's basically like, you know, if you're stacking in a cash game, the issue with that is if one player does bad, it's usually means that other guy's doing bad, and that's the last thing you want because you could afford like one player in your lineup to like be a dud, but you just need everybody else to hit a little bit more than you expected, and that's fine. But that's why I don't really stack in cash games. I will say that the correlation between running back and defense often is a great correlation. If you have conviction in a running back, like pairing him with that defense, like if you wanted to do Mark Ingram and pair him with the Ravens defense, or as you mentioned, Chris Carson, the Seahawks, I have no issue with that.
All right, Tags, you can't use the same lock of the week as me, and I'm going first this time. I'll let you go first next week, but I'm taking Chris Carson. So everyone wants to hear who your second lock of the week is.
Well, it would have been Chris Carson for me, but the other lock will be Adam Thielen for me. I will play Adam Thielen in every cash game lineup. In tournaments, I have to differentiate a bit, but if I can't say Chris Carson, I'm going to go Thielen.
All right, Tags, that's all for today's show. Good luck this week, buddy.
Good luck, dude. This is like literally one of the best days of the year. This is like Christmas for me. You know, like my son is going to love Christmas because he gets gifts. This is my gift. This is the gift of us fantasy football nerds. So excited.
You know, and here's the thing. Like, if you are losing money on Sunday, just appreciate that you're not spending that much money to entertain yourself. Just appreciate that you're not spending that much money to entertain yourself. Like, hopefully you win money, but if you lose, don't get down. Just enjoy that you're having fun watching football, and then it's so much more exciting.
Absolutely.
All right, and I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Sideboss, where you can go to sideboss.com, click to play the 2019 Pro Football Pick'em Contest, and enter promo code FANTASYPROS upon signup. That's sideboss.com, promo code FANTASYPROS. And thanks also to Fantasy Draft, the only rake-free daily fantasy site in the business. Don't miss your shot at this incredible $1 million rake-free contest and its $100,000 top prize. Sign up today at fantasydraft.com with promo code FANTASYPROS and you'll get your free 7-day trial membership. And thanks also to NFL Game Pass. You can get yourself a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass at nfl.com/fantasypros. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable!
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.